And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting edition of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick, and tonight we are going to open up an Italian wine called Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. D'Abruzzo. It's an Italian wine. It is from Italy, imported into the United States, and purchased at Trader Joe's. Tonight, we'll also be doing some really exciting things. We'll also be toasting birthdays and anniversaries. Got a lot of birthdays, a lot of anniversaries to toast. Plus, I'm going to show you a couple of clips from a film that I made back in the 70s with one of my friends who I'm actually toasting his birthday tonight. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about a new network that my son and I just launched this past week. We've got a lot going on here tonight, so let's go ahead and get started. If you're joining me for the first time, of course, this is Drink with Rick. I am not a sommelier. I'm just an everyman who likes to drink wine. I taste and review, pair it with some foods. We try it out just as 99% of us like to drink wine, just normal everyday people. And that's how we're going to taste and review the wine. If you're watching for the first time, or even if you're watching every week, you can catch us on, if you're on Facebook, you can watch on Facebook. This is a public video. You can also watch on the Facebook page at Drink with Rick. You can also catch it on YouTube at Drink with Rick. And on Twitch. Twitch is Drink with Rick 1. That's Drink with Rick 1. And on Twitter, you can go to Twitter at Drink with Rick. You can also contact me there. And you can engage with me in the chats. I'm watching Twitch. I'm watching Facebook. And, of course, I'm keeping an eye on Twitter as well. You can also watch this live and later on, after the fact, at drinkwithrick.com. And we don't have a live chat going on there at the website, but you can click on the post for this episode and you can comment in the comment section and I will respond in kind. Also, our podcast, if you can't watch us tonight and if you can't watch in general, you can catch the podcast. We release this as a podcast every Monday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Goes up every Monday night at 10 p.m. Now, I was a little bit late getting up tonight because just as I was about to start the feed, something crashed with the software I'm using, OBS, and I had to reboot the computer. That's why it took me a few more minutes to get up online. But we are here, and it looks like everything's looking good. So let me know if you have any issues. If you see any issues with video or audio, anything like that, let me know. And we're going to try showing these clips here, a couple of these clips later on tonight. Hopefully that will work as well. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be really exciting because these two video clips I'm going to show, it's actually film. Yeah, real film. These have never been shown on the internet ever. Okay. So let's get going. Let's learn a few things about the wine. Before we do, let me check into the chat. Anything going on in the chat? I don't see anything coming on my end in the chat and on Facebook. Nothing going on YouTube per se, I don't think. Do we have anything going on YouTube? It's quiet on YouTube. Twitch is up. Twitter is up. I'm watching them all tonight. So chime in. Tell me what you're drinking. Tell me what you'd like to be drinking. Tell me what you'd like to see me drinking. And if I can afford to purchase it, I'll buy one and we'll try it out. We'll test it out on the or taste it and review it on the show. So I know my lovely wife Chi and my son Tommy are watching. So that's good. I appreciate it. Hi, folks. And please don't be afraid to chime in and visit me in the chat and tell me how you're doing. Tell me what you're doing. Okay, so let's take a look at this wine that we're going to open up tonight. This is a Villa Serena Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. This is a 2018 wine. This is a it is an actual wine, the DOC. It's a DOC of the, I believe the origin is, d'Abruzzo. I think it's in central Italy. We'll find out in just a moment. But it's going to be an interesting wine to try. This is a wine that cost me under $5 at Trader Joe's. And it's going to be interesting to see, or to find out, to taste, I should say, this wine and find out exactly if it's everything that, if it's worth $5 or maybe more. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. Now, I'm going to show you the back end of this. This is, I'm going to read this for you. This is a Montepulciano d'Abruzzo, Denominazione di Origine. I'm Italian and I can't speak the language. How about that? This is a red wine, a product of Italy. This ruby red wine is made with Montepulciano grapes grown in Abruzzo, central Italy. It is smooth and well-balanced with deep red fruit aromas and flavors. Serve at room temperature with hearty pastas, pizzas, and basic red meat dishes. It is 13% alcohol by volume in the 750-milliliter bottle, and this is a product of Italy. Now, I do not have any pasta tonight. It's funny, because the nights that I do have pasta, I don't have wines that pair well with the pasta, and the nights that I don't have pasta, I'm drinking the wines that go with pasta. So I'll get it right one of these days. Anyway, this will, it's supposed to go with some red meat. So I do have some red meats that I do have a selection of items to try out that my lovely wife, she made for me. We have some hamburger. That's red meat, right? Grilled burger. We also have a beef summer sausage. We have a beef sausage here. So this might go well with the beef sausage. We also have a couple of cheeses. One of them is my favorite, Trader Joe's Gouda, Trader Joe's Creamy Gouda. We have never had a miss on this with a wine that we've paired it with. Of course, we paired it with wines that would probably go pretty well with that cheese anyway. But hey, hopefully tonight it'll be no different. We also have a, what is this? This is a, what cheese we have here? It's not a white cheddar. It is a, she put this together for me. Help me out here, honey. I know it's a Parmesan. It's a Parmesan. So that's, it kind of looks, we had a white cheddar in there and a Parmesan, and I wasn't sure which one it was, because it kind of looked kind of the same unless you look really, really close at the texture, and then you can tell, yeah, that's a little bit more crumbly, a little harder. So that's the Parmesan. That's the Parmesan cheese. Anyway, so let's start opening this wine up and see what it tastes like. Now, this is, my foil cutter here. And use the foil cutter on the top of the wine. And of course, for those who think, do I have to commentate on everything that I'm doing? Well, kind of do, because this is going up as a podcast later, and folks listening to the podcast actually can't see what I'm doing. Now, what I'm doing now is I'm applying the corkscrew, my mechanical corkscrew, which is pretty cool, purchased by my wife, Chi, from an estate sale. And hopefully we can get this thing out of here without my causing a... boy, this is really tough one. Usually not so tough. Man, this is a tough one. Wow. I might have to take this down a little bit. Let's see. Let's try. Wow, this is unusual. This is not coming out. Wow, this is not coming out of... This is not coming out of the... It's coming out of the cork, but the cork is not coming out of the bottle. This is really... really tight. Well, folks, it went right. Dang. This thing is in there super tight. We're gonna try it again. We're gonna try it. Maybe I've got enough cork here. Maybe I can give it another try. The corkscrew works pretty well. It's just that the cork, I'm not sure what that was. It might have been a piece of the corkscrew. It was actually a piece of the corkscrew. Ow. And that was a piece of my thumb. So let's see if we can get this thing open. I don't know. Can we get it open? We'll give it a second try. Let's try it down here. And once again, it's not opening. This thing popped right out. There's something up there. This thing is in there extremely, extremely tight. Wow, that is really, really weird. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I can't get this bottle open. Let's see if we can hack our way into it. I can't get this bottle open. How about that? That is a first. I've never, ever seen that happening. There's an outtake for you. Never seen that happen on the wine stream before. I don't have my my manual one here somewhere, do I? Let's see if I can try it with the manual. The automatic one. Let me reach back here and see if I can find the manual one. From the Veneto Wine Lover set. It's in here. Okay. The manual one. Okay, let's give this one a try. I'll try one more time and see if I can get the cork open. Boy, there's some drama here for the Saturday Night Wine stream, isn't it? I can't get this wine open. What are we going to do? Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Seriously, this is not rehearsed. I don't know what's I don't know what's going on here tonight with this wine. By the way, this is from Trader Joe's. So I'm going to use the manual one. I have a manual one here. Thank you. I have a manual one here. Okay. Let's see. The question is will it open? It opens. It's opening. We'll get this cork out somehow. Hopefully without damaging this everything. There we go. Whoa. That was a tough one, folks. That was in there really, really tight. Whew. That was weird. Okay. It's not the first time. I've had weird things happening with it, and I've had some corks. You know, we had that happen before, but we were able to get it out, and that was with this that thing, that Cabernet Sauvignon that's sitting in the back. We opened that up, that one, the little squatty bottle. We had a really, really tough time getting that cork out. It was really tough, but we were able to get it done. This one, wow. The cork should be okay, right? Well, we'll find out, won't we? All right, Matt's joined us in the chat. Matt, it's great to see you. Matthew, how you doing? And yes, Matt, the wine needs to be stored on its side so the cork gets some moisture. That's absolutely correct. That is correct. The thing is that in Trader Joe's, now we just purchased this just the other day and brought it home. So we really didn't have it in storage for very long. Normally, I store all my wines in my wine cooler. Most all of them are stored in my wine cooler, except the ones that are on the display here. And the ones on the display here, generally, I don't open unless there's a specific event to do that. But the thing is that in Trader Joe's, they store all their wines upright, you know. So not much I can do about that. But that's a good point, Matt. Very good, very good point. Anyway, how you doing, by the way? How you doing? It's good to see you. Hope you and your family are doing well. Stick around because we're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to toast some birthdays and anniversaries. Okay, so I have this open. And, of course, I have my trusty... Let me put this up a little bit. I have my trusty aerator. This is from the Veneto Wine Lover set. The same Veneto Wine Lover set, by the way, that I reached back a few moments ago and obtained my corkscrew out of. And it's available to purchase online, Amazon. I don't make any money off this. I'm just saying it's available on our website. There's a link there. You can click on it if you are interested in purchasing the set. It's a really nice set, by the way. $19.99, I believe it is. And we gave a couple of these away on the wine stream last holiday season. So, okay. And to pour it into a glass that we've got here is my Galway Genuine Irish Crystal Glass. From Ireland, and this was given to me by my employers at VitaliaRadios.com. So we're going to just pour a little bit of wine in this glass, and we're going to let it breathe a little bit, swirl around a little bit, let it breathe, and get it ready to sip and try. I'm getting the aromas now, and off the cuff, right off the bat, I'm getting some fairly strong aromas of kind of a cherry, maybe a raspberry, maybe a little bit. Maybe a hint of strawberry from the aroma. So that sounds pretty good. We can hardly wait to taste it. Before we do, though, let me check back into the chat. And let's see. Andrea's in the chat. Let's see. I can't see everybody in the chat. Let's see who's in the chat here. Let me see if I can refresh this. Well, I'm almost afraid to refresh this page. Let's see. Who else we have going on? Anything going on? Okay, CM Cinder is in the chat. Hi, and good to see you. And that's in Twitch. And you know, I can't see everybody in the chat unless those who are just visiting. But I am. If you chat with me, if you put something in the chat, I should be able to see it. This new Facebook interface. I'm not for streaming, for live streaming videos, I'm not real crazy about it. I like the old one better, but they're kind of forcing everyone on this new version. It is what it is. Thank you very much, Mr. Zuckerberg. I mean, it is his platform, right? Okay, so let me get some more information on the wine. And there's not a whole lot. I was searching around the internet today, and there's really not a whole lot on this wine, except for the fact that everybody acknowledges that it is available at Trader Joe's. And this is because it's sold exclusively at Trader Joe's. Apparently, Trader Joe's contracts with the distributor, and that distributor imports it from Italy directly for that distributor for Trader Joe's. So if there's a Trader Joe's in your area, that would be the place to get this wine. Of course, we'll find out if the wine is any good or not. We'll see. Okay, so let's go ahead and give it a closer whiff. Yeah, cherry and a raspberry. Some and they're red fruits. Maybe a hit of a plum in there. I think maybe that's plum I'm smelling. Yeah, might be. Let's give it a taste. Yeah, right off the bat, cherry and plum. And maybe a little bit of strawberry. Maybe a little bit of strawberry in there. It's not too bad. It's kind of, it's not a bold wine. It's fairly light. I want to say it's kind of medium, but it's really on the lighter side of the medium. It's really on the lighter side of that. It's not real tannic. There are some mild tannins in there. It's not super tannic or anything. And I wouldn't expect that from this wine, because this wine is supposed to have fairly, you know, the grape is supposed to have produced wines with fairly mild tannins in it. We'll get into that in a few minutes. We're going to learn a little bit more about the grape. It is a dry wine. Okay. So it is a dry red, but it's not tannic. And it is somewhat smooth. Few tannins, but not much. And it's kind of a medium. I'd say it's about a medium acidity. It's not real acidic either. It's kind of a medium acidity. It's okay. Maybe it's a little bit lighter on the acidity there. And it has a kind of a smooth finish to it. I think this is a 2018, so it probably could sit in the bottle for another 6 months or so. So it's not super matured, but it's excuse me. It's not too young either. It's okay. It's all right. The finish is kind of a nice. It's not a real lingering finish, but it doesn't stop short. It's pretty good. I like the finish. It's all right. Kind of a smooth wine. And like I said, it's kind of a medium to light body. We're going to have some more. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you what I paid. Did I tell you what I paid for this bottle of wine? It is sold at Trader Joe's, at least the Trader Joe's in our area. I paid $4.99. So it is a couple of steps up from $2. Well, it's only about $1 or $2 more than $2 Chuck, but it's definitely a few steps up there above that in quality. I'll definitely say that. Okay, it's not the best wine I've ever had, but it's actually a pretty decent wine for $4.99 from what I've tasted so far. Let's go ahead and pair it with some food. I'll try pairing it with a little bit of food. And before I do that, let me check the chat one more time, see what we got in the chat. And it's kind of quiet in there. Matthew, tell me how things are going with you. It's been a long time since I've seen you. Matt and I worked together at WFL for many, many years. We're both, I would say, WFL alumni, so we go way, way back there, and, you know, we always really liked Matt. Really, the thing is about Matt is that he always struck me as just a cool, laid-back kind of guy. He's a very active guy, he really is, but just kind of, you know, really cool and just the kind of guy that you kind of want to hang around with. You know what I mean? So, Matt, you say DOC or DOCG? It's DOC. I think it's just DOC. I thought I mentioned that before. Maybe I missed it. I think I missed it. It's a DOC. And so this is the one, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, because there is, you know, with some of the Montepulciano's, there are a couple, there's often some confusion there, or I guess some of the Montepulciano's, if I can say that right, get mixed up with another Montepulciano, which is from a different area in Italy. But this one's the Abruzzo. I can't pronounce anything tonight, folks. I'm sorry. But this should be okay with the red meat. So we're going to try it with the red meats right now. Let's try it with a little bit of the burger. I think this really goes better with a light steak or something, maybe a sirloin or something like that. This should be okay with this. This is more like on the meatball side. But, I mean, it's a burger, but it's really on the meatball side of red meat than the steak side. Burgers, no dry because it's been sitting here for a while, but it's okay. It's okay with the burger. I like it okay with the burger. It would probably be better with the steak. It's definitely, I think this would go pretty well with a pasta. I don't have a pasta tonight. I do have some sausage. Now, the sausage is kind of spicier, and I would probably pair the sausage with maybe something else, maybe something that's a little more tannic, but we'll try it. It'd be sausage. It is a red meat, after all, right? Yeah, I kind of like that. It's not too bad. Let's try it with the Parmesan. Now, with the pastas, along with the pastas, there's usually a lot of cheese involved. And often things like Parmesan, Romano, mozzarella, things like that. And this might go okay with the Parmesan. No, it's not. This is a decent Parmesan. It's not too hard. I like it with the Parmesan. Pretty good. It's pretty good with the Parmesan. Now let's try it with the Trader Joe's Creamy Gouda. Never had a mess with this cheese. It is creamy and it is Gouda. Gouda. Cheese is good. Another winner, folks. We have another winner. I think it goes Gouda. It goes good with the Gouda. If I do say so myself. Let me clear the palate just a little bit. with a little water. And now I wanted to save as much of the wine. I was trying to go easy on the wine because I want to save as much of it as I could, because we have a lot of birthdays, a lot of anniversaries to toast, things like that, and a couple of surprises, a couple of fun surprises. So so I hope you'll stick around. So in short, I think with a review, I'll get my final review at the end of the show after I've gotten down in the bottle, because as you know, and this is why I'm not Gary Vee, this is why I don't spit in the bucket. I drink the wine. I don't spit. Nothing against Gary Vee. He knows his stuff. But I'm different in the sense that my philosophy on this is that it's fine to taste the wine. And you can go to the supermarket or go to Trader Joe's. They do wine tasting sometimes. Go to the Total Wine or the Total Wino, as they affectionately call it. Go to one of my favorite places, the wine store, winestore-online.com, some of these other places. And you can taste the wines when they have their tastings. But you just get a little bit. You know, it's enough to taste. And you know what? There are not too many wines that taste real bad at a tasting, unless it's a really bad wine or unless it's something you definitely don't like. Because let's face it, it's inside, you know, up in your mind, it's free, a free tasting, free wine. Free always tastes better, right? When you're sampling it. We talked about that before. But my philosophy, I believe that you can't really get into the wine. You can't really taste a wine until you get into the bottle, right? So, you know, when you get down about halfway into the bottle, then you really make a more fair assessment as to whether or not the wine is that good or not. And, of course, if you go too far down the bottle, I guess at that point it doesn't matter, because any wine's going to taste good at that point. But, well, most any wine. I'm looking at the two bookshelf back here, okay? So, anyway, I'll give you my full review at the end of the show. But let's go ahead and go on into the birthdays, because we have a lot of birthdays to celebrate. First of all, I would like to toast my good friend Ken Japhet. Ken and I go way, way back to, we used to call him Kenny. We were kids. Of course, they called me Ricky. Ricky, Kenny, you know. And that's right. That's what we did what our folks called us when we were kids. But Ken... he and I went to church together. We kind of grew up in that church together, and that was known him for many, many years. He and his family, was his dad was a choir director at our church as well, and a very musically oriented, very, very talented person. Their whole family was, I think that they're just a sweet family. They're really, really great people, and I always liked Ken. He was just a really cool guy. Anyway, Ken, here's to you. Happy birthday! Your birthday was the 28th. That was Thursday, right? And I want to say happy birthday, and hope you and your family are doing fine. I hope you have many, many more. Here's to Ken, my good friend Ken Japhet. And another special birthday toast. Another special birthday toast for one of my nieces. I have a lot of nieces. I don't have too many nephews. They're all nieces, pretty much. And not that there's anything wrong with that. I love my nieces, and I love my nephew too. I like my nephews too. That Ben, who is my nephew, and my niece Amanda is my youngest sister Penny's son. No, excuse me. What did I say? Ben is my younger sister Penny's son. Boy, I'm going to have... Well, she's on the chair right now. No, I know who's who, okay? Ben is my younger sister Penny's son, and Amanda is my sister Gina, who's also a younger sister. But no, I don't really get my sisters mixed up that well. But she, Amanda is my sister Gina's daughter, youngest daughter. And Amanda, her birthday was Thursday as well. And Amanda, I'm not really sure. I don't want to give out ages here. I'm not giving out people's ages unless they specifically tell me they want to. But Amanda, here's to you. I hope you're doing very, very well. Take good care of your mom. Take good care of your sisters, your family. And here's to you. Happy, happy birthday. And I hope you have many, 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 many more. Here's to you, Amanda. It's from my niece, Amanda. Amanda Stepp. Now, I also want to toast. Told you I have birthdays and anniversaries to toast here. I also want to toast the COO. Boy, I'm really messing up tonight. The CEO. I do almost did again, right? I also want to toast Anthony. A boss of my friend Anthony Roquet, who is his birthday was Friday on the 29th. And normally what we do at the office is that we would have like a birthday lunch, and everybody would, you know, they bring in lunch for everybody and kind of celebrate whoever is having a birthday on that day. Unfortunately, because of the current pandemic, he's been pretty much at the office pretty much by himself and with our shipper, because we've been on this, you know, minimum people at the office, and most of us working from home. Now, we can work from home because we are an internet retailer, so we can do that. Anthony was, you know, working. He gets lonely there sometimes, I'm sure. I hope, Anthony, you had a great birthday, and I hope you also have many, many, many more. Anthony's also a co-host of the Two-Way Radio Show podcast, along with Danny, our president of the company, and myself. I'm the product manager. And Anthony is the COO, and really, really great guy, really nice guy. I've always liked Anthony, have a lot of respect for him, and he's a pretty cool guy. He's very funny too. He's a very he has a good sense of humor, and I really enjoy being around him at the office and that sort of thing. He's always a lot of fun. Anyway, here's to you, Anthony, and hopefully we can all get back out of our sequestering here soon, so we can all get back to the office and we can all see you again. In the meantime, happy birthday. And that's for Anthony Roquet. And there's another birthday that I want to give, and I'm really excited about this one as well. This is for my good friend Dana Dunham. Dana and I, just like Ken Japhet and I, go way, way back to when we were younger at church. Dana also, he was also another friend of mine. Who from church, but he also went to my school and later on in high school. And we kind of grew up together as well. But he's a good friend of mine. He's been a good friend for many, many years. And I always, Dana was always somebody that I really, really enjoyed palling around with. Really enjoyed it. He was a lot of fun, very good natured guy. And, somebody he was just always fun to be around. And I know he still is, although I can't be around him because we're in different places. But he's another person that I miss. I think the last time I saw him, actually, it was years ago when he visited me over at WFL when I was working there. Or maybe I saw him one other time since. But I can tell you that Dana, his birthday was yesterday on the 29th on Friday, just like Anthony's was. And I want to tell you also that Dana, in addition to us palling around and stuff, he and I did some stuff with film together. And we made a couple films together. We made one or two in high school together, along with my sister Gina. And then we made this other film that I'm going to show you a clip of here shortly. And this was another project that I did with him and my brother, Michael, and Chris Brownson, who I'm friends with also on Facebook. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a moment. But here is to you, Dana. Happy birthday. And may you have many, many, many more. And I hope you and your family are also doing well. All right, before we get to the anniversaries, I want to show you this clip. I was talking about this film. There's one film in particular, a little short. Now, when I was a kid, I was really into filmmaking. And of course, I couldn't afford to make any big budget films. I mean, 12, 13, 14 years old, I had an 8mm camera. I had a a regular 8mm, it wasn't even Super 8, it didn't even have sound on it. It was a regular 8mm camera that I kind of sort of commandeered from my dad. He let me borrow it once or twice when I was 10 or so. And I think he never saw it again after that, because I really just fell in love with making movies, and I was using it for making all kinds of films. And this was back in Salisbury, North Carolina, back when I was about 10 years old or so. When we moved to Florida, we moved to Winter Park, and I continued that on. And then I was making films with 8mm, standard 8. And I had a tape recorder that I would sync up, make up dialogue and music and sync it up with the little films. And later on, as I got a little older, I got a Super 8 camera, a Super 8 sound camera. And that just really, that was great. I love that. And we made a lot of films from there. And of course, I made films with my friends, and I made films with folks that I joined the, well, we actually started a film club in our high school, Lake Howell Film Club in high school. We made a whole bunch of films there. And a lot of my friends and I would just write these scripts and just do this stuff, most of it comedy, you know, because that's kind of what we like to do. We're just having fun with it. And I had my Super 8 camera at the time that I made this film, and then I'm going to show you a couple of clips of. I had a Super 8 camera, but I wanted to try something a little bit different. I still had my standard 8mm camera that was silent, and it was during a period where I was really trying to experiment a little bit with some different genres of filmmaking. So I had, I'd looked at some silent films and things like that, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to do a silent film with subtitles. And then I was thinking, well, what would I do for a silent film with subtitles? Of course, I had to make something funny. So I came up with this concept of I had done a little short experimental film with some animation, scratching the emulsion off the film itself to do this animation frame by frame. And I thought, why don't I take this a step further and make a short film about it? So I came up with this idea called Attack of the Bubble Creatures. And it was a short film where it's about 14 minutes long, the whole film. I'm not going to show you the whole thing. I'm just going to show you a couple of clips of it. But this was about a couple of guys walking along, and they see this ship attack land and start attacking with and they're bubble creatures. It's a joke. It's a one joke movie, basically, but two jokes, actually, if you think about it. But it was just something fun to do. And as we shot the first bit of it, the movie got a little bit longer and more involved, because we said, maybe we can do this with it, maybe we can do that with it. And we started coming up with some other ideas. Anyway, I made this film with Dana and my brother Mike and Chris. I'm going to show you a clip of this. I'm going to show you the opening of it right now. This is the opening of opening in the first about the first minute. This is a couple of minutes long, so bear with me. Trust me, this is the kind of film you want to watch after you've had a few, okay? And if you haven't gotten that far yet, go ahead and get a few, and then and then you can watch. Before I check this, let me check the Twitch. Nothing going on Twitch. Nothing on. Okay, it's kind of quiet out there. Maybe this will bring things to life, or maybe not. I don't know. So here is a clip, and I'm going to do some commentary because for our folks listening on the podcast later, you can't see the clip. So I'm going to give you a commentary and explain what's going on in the clip. So here we are, the first clip. And this is a silent film, by the way. So I'm going to be doing commentary. You won't be missing anything on the audio side. This is the first clip, the opening of Attack of the Bubble Creatures. So this is the opening. This is the logo for what we called Savoya Studios. That was what I came up with back in 1972 when I was making some of these first films. This was what I went with, Savoya Studios, and all my films had a Savoya Studios label on it. So this is the opening of the movie. It's 14 minutes long, Attack of the Bubble Creatures. That's Dana's. He got top billing. Dana got top billing. This is my brother Mike and our good friend Chris Brownson. He actually shows up about two-thirds later into the film. So he's not in these two clips, but he shows up later on in the film. Anyway, what it's about, these two guys are just walking down the street, mind their own business, looking up at the sky, whatever. And they spot this fireball that comes over behind this house and crash lands, more or less. So kind of freaked out about it. So, of course, they have to go check it out, right? I mean, it would not be a sci-fi movie if people just ran away from everything that happened in the movie, right? Because you wouldn't have any drama. They're just like, oh, look, there's a meteor. Just crash. Let's run away. So, and this the shot right here, yes, we did some miniature work. We did some miniature work. This is a miniature of the spaceship. And they're kind of peering into the bushes at it, and then this thing comes out and attacks them. This is a bubble creature drawn on film. And, of course, they are tumbling to the ground trying to escape this thing, crawling backwards. A lot of little cliches here about people who fall down and then they can't get up and the things coming at them. And we were trying to do a lot of these little cliches, just making fun of the whole thing. And, of course, this thing, there's subtitles. So it says, you have soap, which we need. You will give it to us. All right? That's the joke. That's one of the two big jokes in this film. You're right. Bubble creatures are attacking Earth because they want soap. So Dana attacks him and or defends himself, I guess, and it attacks him and knocks him to the ground. My brother Mike, he gets hit with a fireball from this thing. A bubble creature is a fireballs. Who knew, right? How do you destroy a bubble? That's and Dana's reviving him, and he says, how do you destroy a bubble? And Mike says, you pop it. And Dana says, exactly. You go out and get something to pop it with. I have a plan. So then they're going to take off and go try to defend themselves, try to get some weapons to defend themselves against this bubble creature. So that goes on into the next scene. So that was the first clip of it. And that gives you an idea. It's low budget. Sure. We had no money, zero money. I was just a kid and didn't make a lot of money. Usually I got rolls of film from my parents. My parents would ask me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for, you know, a gift or whatever? And I would say, just give me some film and some processing. And that was how I obtained my film. before I got my first job, my first part-time job, to go out and buy my own film and buy my own camera and stuff. We did a couple other funny things in there. It was to try to make money to support our filmmaking habit. But that was the first clip. Now, it gets more elaborate. The whole film, that's just the start. That's just the start of it. There's a lot more action to it. There's a whole scene that I cut off with showing the inside of the ship and the whole thing and how they make the bubbles and the bubble creatures in the ship. And then they're going to go out and attack these guys. And we have a few fight scenes. And then there's also a fight scene at the end that's rather elaborate by my standards, by the standards of a little kid who was doing scratch-off animation directly off film emulsion for about 5,000 to 7,000 frames. So that's what I did. Anyway, like I said, I told you you're going to have a few beers or a few glasses of wine to really sit back and appreciate this film. And I think I'll have a little bit more, by the way. Anyway, I'll show you another clip. If you want to see it, if you want to see another clip later on, I'll show you a second one, which has a lot more action to it. It's a lot more interesting than the first one, I think. By the way, the titles on that, it's all cell animation. We dabbled a little bit of cell animation in there. Dana did, actually, aside from starring in the film, Dana did a lot of the subtitle screens that we did for the film, and that was part of his contribution. Anyway, Dana, once again, happy birthday to you! And if you're not watching this now, check it out later. I think you'll enjoy it. I don't think Dana's ever seen this thing. I don't think he's ever seen this thing. It's entirely. I think I showed him clips of it when we were making it. But the thing is about that film, I never really finished making it at the time. What happened was I didn't finish making it until I left home when I was about 19 or 20. And the reason for that was I pretty much had everything done with the film. Everything was all shot and everything like that. But what happened was I got caught up in school and other things, and then I moved away from home and busy with all that stuff. So the film, all the film clips that were to be edited were all sitting in little canisters and things like that, just unedited, and for years. And I just never finished it. And everything was, most of the animation was done. Some of it wasn't done, but a lot of it was. And I just sat in my house and in my apartment for, I don't know, 5-6 years. And then one day I was just looking around and saying, you know, oh, well, look, here's this film that I did way back when I was younger. And I was like, how come I never finished this? And I thought, you know, I need to finish this thing, either finish it or throw these pieces of film out, because it's just cluttering up my closet. So I decided to go ahead and put it together. Took a couple of nights and edit it together, put it together and finished it. And the result was this film. So let's see. Anniversaries. I was getting to anniversaries. Let's do some anniversaries. My first anniversary, because I don't want to forget about this. My first anniversary toast is going to Gordon and Cassandra Firemark. Gordon is a good friend of mine. He's a podcaster, fellow podcaster, and he is one of our resident legal attorneys for podcasters. And he does a fine job with that. He does he does a few things. He also does some consulting on that for podcasters. And I think he does a boot camp as well. He does a podcaster's legal boot camp for podcasters. You might want to check out if you're into podcasting or YouTubing or anything like that, anything related to media. So Gordon and Cassandra, they've been married for 15 years. And I think that's great. That's just awesome. And their anniversary was yesterday on the 29th. And I want to say to Gordon and Cassandra Firemark, happy, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. And may you have many, many, many more marital years of bliss. Years of marital bliss. Right. And we have another anniversary here. Some other good friends of mine, which, by the way, Gordon, Sean, yeah, we're all in that podcasting group, so we all kind of know each other. Sean, my good friend Sean Yesner, Sean and Melanie Yesner. Sean is, and I mentioned Sean a number of times in the past. He does the Crushing Debt podcast, where he helps people. He's also an attorney, but his area of law is dealing with debt relief and debt consolidation and foreclosures and things like that. So he's on that side. Anyway, Sean wrote a book called Crushing Debt, same name of this podcast. And I reviewed the book last summer, right here on the Wine Stream. And I believe was it going to give away a book? I think I did, didn't I? Or if I didn't, we should do one here shortly. Good book, by the way. And I learned a few things. Definitely did. But Sean knows his stuff. He's been practicing law for a long time. And a very, very smart guy and a good friend. And to Sean and Melanie Yesner, 10 years, happy anniversary. And may you have many, many, many more years of marital bliss. I said it right that time, right? Yeah, I think I did. Okay, I think that does it for the anniversaries. But I don't want to forget about the national days, because we do that every week here too, and we do that courtesy of my good friend Marlo Anderson, who is the CEO of, if I can find it here, there it is. He is the CEO of nationaldaycalendar.com. And if you want to go check it out, it's nationaldaycalendar.com. And see, for the national days, we have for May 30th, which is today. May 30th is National Creativity Day. National creativity, you know, I think that's, I'll drink to that because I've always been a very creative type person, as you could tell from that little clip of that film, 8mm film I made back in the 70s when I was a kid. And I'll drink to National Creativity Day. My daughter is very creative as well, by the way. In fact, if you notice on the clip, we'll show the second clip coming up in just a few minutes. If you notice on that clip, did you see the frame with the theater? The theater setting with the chairs and the theater chairs and the screen, the movie screen and all that. My daughter Tia did that. She did that this evening, as a matter of fact, just before we went up here. She did that very, very quickly, but she put it together. It looks really nice. I really like that. I'm going to keep using that here on Drink with Rick when we show clips in the future. I think it's pretty cool. I think it turned out really, really nice. Anyway, here's to National Creativity Day. May we all be creative. I don't know what's the matter with me. My tongue is getting twisted. I'm just wixing my words all up tonight. National Water a Flower Day is today. National Water a Flower Today. Have you watered a flower today? Do you have any flowers to water? We have some. But we've been getting a lot of water. It's been raining. It's been storming. I was concerned we weren't going to be able to do the stream tonight because they were saying thunderstorms. I don't think we've seen them yet. But we had quite a few of them this week, and it just torrential rain. I went down and checked my weather station earlier this week. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday. And just for that 24-hour period, I saw something like 3.4 inches of rain, something like that. It was an incredible amount of rain for one 24-hour period. And of course, we had flooding in the general area. We're not in a flood zone ourselves, but the area saw a lot of flooding. And so I think our flowers are getting plenty of water right now. Here's a National Flower Day. National Hole in My Bucket Day. It's like the song, Hole in My Bucket. National Hole in My Bucket Day. Okay. Here's one I can get behind. National Mint Julep Day. National Mint Julep. You like mint juleps? Hey. Or mint juleps, right? National is a Southern favorite. National Mint Julep Day. I'll drink to that. National Loomis Day. And there's also World Multiple Sclerosis Day. And I don't want to take too because it's getting kind of late, but multiple sclerosis. I think a lot of us have known folks who have multiple sclerosis or have had it, and some folks out there do, and it's pretty debilitating. It really is, and I think that if you know a good reputable charity that does. That helps people with multiple sclerosis and research on that, please consider giving to that charity. Here's to World Multiple Sclerosis Day. Let's see, May 31st is Autonomous Vehicle Day. Autonomous vehicles, you know, that's becoming. Do you feel like when it comes around, when it gets to the point where you can buy a self-driving car, how do you feel about that? Are you ready to jump into a self-driving car? Do you think you could do that? I don't know. I don't feel confident enough about it yet. Now, there's some people that do, but there are some that just don't feel. I'm one of those. I just. Don't know. I like to be in control. If I'm not in control and I'm having to rely on a vehicle to a computer to show me, you know, to if I'm putting my whole life in my hands of a then the hands of a well they don't have hands but an autonomous vehicle. I don't know. I just don't know. Some people are fine with it. Some people can't wait to make that happen. Of course, some people want flying cars too, and I'm fear of flying. I never was crazy about that, although the concept was kind of cool. But I don't know, autonomous vehicles. You know, they already have trucks on the road. semis on the road. And they say that sometimes you just don't know if that semi that you're driving around on the highway, that you're driving around it or behind or in front of it, or trying to sideswipe it or whatever, is an autonomous vehicle. Because there seem to be a number of them out on the roads right now. So, I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about that yet. But I'll tell you this. I was really, really impressed with one autonomous vehicle, and that was today. Today, the SpaceX, the Dragon launch went up, carrying two astronauts. That is a first. I don't want to go too far into this because it's getting late. We've got other things to do. But you know what? For so long, I've watched the Apollo space program, the space shuttle. And when the space shuttle was designed and built and went up, and I saw the first time I saw the cockpit, more like the cockpit of an airplane, which is pretty cool. It's a lot of switches and gizmos and lights and stuff like that. But it didn't look like the space agey 21st century kind of technology that I really wanted to see. You know, it was all boxy and it looked more like 50s and 60s sci-fi stuff, right? With all the blinking lights and the toggle switches and all kinds of stuff like that. I love the shuttle program, but I was a little disappointed that they never really gave it a good upgrade. I came from, I grew up in watching Star Trek and things like that. And they have that kind of stuff, it seems like NASA that's all they could do. And the way that I always thought that they were trying to explain it was that, you have to have something that's really more hardy, more heavy duty, more boxy in space, Why? So here comes Elon Musk, and he did it. He's, what the inside of that capsule looks like? Have you seen the inside of the capsule? It is unbelievable. It's sleek. There's not a whole lot to it. It's mostly, the controls are mostly touch screens and things like that. Just unbelievable. And that is exactly what I envisioned our space program to look like, our space vehicles to look like. That's what I wanted them to look like. And Elon Musk did it. Now, of course, he's a huge sci-fi fan, too. So that's not unexpected. But if you've ever watched The Orville in certain series like that, it has that look. I was telling Tom the other day, that looks like the deck of the Orville, the ship or something like that. It's very, very sleek, very ultra-modern. Now I can say, hey, we've reached the 21st century in space exploration when I see something like that. Very cool. And the fact that it went up without a glitch and it was just a beautiful launch, they're going to be docking in the morning. Hopefully that goes well and hopefully they can return everyone to Earth safely in that capsule. I think this is just phenomenal. I'm really, really, really excited about that. That's very cool. And checking the chat here, I'm in the Twitch chat and CM Cinder says, National Creativity Day. I've been doing art all day. Here's to art. And you are my target is in the chat on Twitch, and it's good to see you. You are my target. And he says, hello, sir, and hello right back at you. Tell me what you're drinking or what you're not drinking or what you would like to be drinking. It can be water. It's okay. It doesn't have to be wine. It could be beer. It could be water. It could be soda. Whatever you want to drink, it's fine. We're just here having a good time. And we're going to have more good times to come here because I'm going to show another clip from Attack of the Bubble Creatures. That's another 2-minute clip coming up in just a moment. Did I get all the national days first? I think there was, let me check the chat on Facebook for just a minute. Ah, and Benny's in the chat. Benny, my sister-in-law, Benny. Benny's great to see you. She says, hello, how are you? And I am doing just fine. How are you doing, Benny? I hope everything is going well with the family there. And say hi to Anai for me. And I just hope everyone's doing just fine. It's good to see you. Stick around because we have some more fun coming up. And, I've toasted you on my wine stream before, Benny. Do you know that? I've toasted most all my family members in the chat or on the wine stream at some point or another. Benny, stick around. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I'm really, really glad that you're here. And it's my wife's sister. Benny. And let's see what we have going on. Okay, where was it going with this? Oh, yes, the National Days. Let's finish that up real quick, and then we can show another clip of this film. May 31st is also, aside from being Autonomous Vehicle Day, which I'm not sure about, National Save Your Hearing Day. I'm all for that. I love my hearing. Save Your Hearing Day. Okay, today is also, so I have to do it. As much as I'm mangling up the English language today, as much as I'm mangling up my sentences right now, I have to observe National Speak in Sentences Day. This is National Speak in Sentences Day. I'm all for that. Let's all speak in sentences today, okay? No alliteration. That's not a full sentence, is it? No alliteration. I think that's a sentence. National Macaroon Day. The only macaroons I know about are coconut macaroons. I'm not a fan of coconuts. I'll skip that one. If you like macaroons, that's fine. Just go ahead and toast. I'm going to sit that one out. National Utah Day. Utah is one of the states, one of the great states in our union, great 50 states. Here's a National Utah Day. Today is also National Smile Day. So I'm smiling. Let's all smile. You know, we all should smile more. And I am I'm just as much guilty of not smiling enough as a lot of us are. And of course, you know, there's just so much that we have to be concerned about, to be worried about. There's some complaining going along, but you know, there are a few things to complain about too these days. But there are some things that I think we have so many things out in the world going on that we can't smile about because they're just not good things. But we can all find something to smile about, right? We can all find something to smile about. Whether it's just, you know, just getting up in the morning, being able to be alive and say, hey, get up in the morning and it's a new day, the sun's coming through the window, and I'm still here. I think that's definitely something to smile about, don't you think? I think so. Also, other things, the little things, your family, your friends. You know, when I see my kids in the morning, when I wake up and I see my wife smiling at me in the morning, that's something to smile about. And to go down and smell fresh coffee in the morning, that's something to smile about. You know, there's so many things that we have. I know there are a lot of troubles in the world. There's a lot, but you know what? If you can look past some of that, not let it get you down, but look at all the things that we do have to be grateful for and that we do have to smile about. And let's smile more. And then I think the day will go just a little bit better for all of us, right? Here's to National Smile Day. I'll drink to that. And then there's Necrotizing Fasciitis Awareness Day. Now, this is an interesting one because if you don't know what necrotizing fasciitis is, it's a condition of the skin that causes the skin to harden, that sort of thing. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know that much. It is a rare disease. It's kind of a rare condition, but it does happen, and there are people that do have it. So I think it's something we do need to be aware of, that it does exist. Just like the coronavirus and like everything else, Necrotizing Fasciitis Awareness Day. All right. I think that does it for the national days for this week. Oh, well, there's one more. There's one more. You know, as you know, I'm really big on radios because I am a licensed ham radio, general class ham radio operator, and I'm also a GMRS radio operator. My family has a GMRS license. And of course, I work for by2wayradios.com. Well, June 1st, You know, I'm big on weather radios, and this week our weather radio just went off so many times. We got so many alarms on it because of thunderstorms, and most of them were the severe thunderstorm warnings, and we had a couple for flood warnings and things like that. So they were really, it's something that we definitely pay attention to. Whenever that alarm goes off on our weather radio, we definitely pay attention to it. Because it's something that we have to pay attention to. So June 1st, if you're not already aware of it, June 1st is the first day of hurricane season. It's the beginning of hurricane season. This is something that we all need to be aware of. Even if you don't live in a hurricane zone, there's still ways that you can be affected by that indirectly, if not directly. But for those of us who live up and down the Eastern Seaboard and the Gulf Coast in particular, and of course on the West Coast, there's always that concern of something coming that way, severe weather. Hurricane season starts from June 1st, ends November. Okay, so that's a long season all through the summer months, spring, summer months, and part of the autumn. If you do not have a weather radio, I highly advise you to get one. Okay, I have a weather radio. I have one right here. This is one I've showed you many, many times. We have a weather radio on the wall. We have a number of radios, weather radios throughout the house. And of course, I have this set of two-way radios, which this one right here, these are both Midlands, which has NOAA weather frequencies in them. And with the NOAA weather frequencies, you can get weather alerts pretty much from anywhere in the country. Some rural areas might have them, they might be spotty. For most areas, they're pretty well covered for weather alerts. And so I think everybody should have a weather radio. Their office, in their homes, they make some that are bedside radios that also double as AM/FM alarm clocks. And they say you can have an AM/FM alarm clock regular radio next to your bed to play music and stuff like that, but it's also a weather radio for an emergency. So I think that's very, very cool. The Midland WR400 is one of those that does that. Anyway, so if you need a weather radio, of course, you can go to buytwowayradios.com. And of course, for full disclosure, I work for buytwowayradios.com. I am the product manager for the company. But I don't make anything off this, okay? It's just this is something I'm doing more as a public service. My boss has authorized me to offer you a promo code. If you go to buy two-way radios, you and want to buy a weather radio, you can get an additional 5% off by using the code WINESHOW. That's WINESHOW. WINESHOW, WINESHOW. Okay, enter that at checkout and you'll get 5% off your order. And that's actually not just good on the weather radios, but any kind of radio. If you're into, you know, whatever radios, if you have a boat and you want a marine radio, get a marine radio. You fly a plane, you need airband radios, get an airband radio. But that's at buytwowayradios.com. GMRS, FRS radios, CBs, you like CB radios, MERS, we have all kinds of radios there. Ham radios, of course, as well. So, wine show. Remember that. And please don't put that up on those promo code websites. That's for you. This is just for you watching and listening on Drink with Rick. It's your own personal code. Okay. All right. Well, we've got... I'm going to show you another clip. Let's show another clip of this. Before we go there, let's see. Let me check the chat one more time. Anything else going on in the chat? Benny's in the chat. I don't see anything else going on in the chat right now, unless I'm missing something. Very quiet tonight. Very quiet. It's been quite the last couple of weeks. CM Sender says, Alligator Alley. Yes. That's another area that gets affected by hurricanes, Alligator Alley. So let's show you another clip. This is from Attack of the Bubble Creatures. And I don't know if my good friend Dana is watching now or later, but if you're watching later, I think you'll really enjoy this. And also Chris Bronson, or my brother Mike. I don't think he gets on Facebook I think he doesn't do Facebook anymore, but he can watch on Twitter. I think he has a Twitter account or something, or YouTube. You can check that out if you're watching as well later, Mike. And here is the next clip. I'm going to set it up as I go along because I'm going to comment on it. But here's the next clip of our sci-fi movie, our little sci-fi short film that we made back in the 70s on standard 8mm. Wasn't even super, it was standard 8 silent film called Attack of the Bubble Creatures. Here we go. All right, so this kind of, there was a scene in here that I admitted, there's a whole scene in there where they're creating the bubbles inside the spaceship. It was all miniatures. This is picks up where they're going off to get the weapons to attack them, to defend themselves with. And this is a scene with Dana on the roof killing another bubble creature. And then there's the second joke in there, right? There's the second joke of this whole thing. Yeah, you pop a bubble, right? Two jokes in this whole movie. Anyway, it says, get some gasoline. We have to destroy the ship before the other creatures get loose. That's the whole plan there. Go try to destroy that ship. Got a couple bubble creatures loose. Let's go get rid of the rest of them before they get out. There's a shot of the miniature set. So my brother Mike is going out with the gasoline, and he sees the bubble creatures coming out of the ship, and he kind of freaks out, and he heads off back to tell Dana the bad news. And he says, it's too late, they're coming, is what he says. I'm reading the subtitles here. And he says, get me some weapons. That's Dana talking to Mike. Get me some weapons. So he says, okay. So he runs off, and that one, he tripped there at the end. Yeah, that was not part of the scene. Anyway, here come the bubble creatures. He gets him some weapons, basically sticks, brooms, and things like that. And Dana is out on the roof now fighting off these creatures. Now, he starts off fighting them one at a time. And then here's a shot here that what happened here was that we shot this on a different day, and he forgot to put on the same shirt. So we had to fix some continuity issues and have him put on a jacket. Anyway, so he gets up and meet the next one, and here come the rest of them. They're all coming, so he's sitting there just trying to kill them all off, you know, just trying to pop them all, and he's fighting them all off. They're all coming at him to attack him, and he's, you know, just they're just coming out fast and furious, pretty much. One of them just shot a little thing at him, and now he gave up on that because there are just too many of them. So he climbs down, and he's off the roof. Now, the thing is about that scene, we got up on the roof and we did all that. I think we shot that on a couple of different days. And that's not all of the, that's just the start. I mean, at that point, Chris comes out and he's introduced into the film. And then the three of them are fighting off all these creatures. And there's this big battle scene. There's this whole big battle scene in the backyard of the house where they're all fighting these creatures off, and they're all coming at them, and sometimes two or three at a time. And we have some pyrotechnics in there, a little bit of pyrotechnics in there with some cheap fireworks and things like that. It's a lot of fun. That was a very difficult one for me to do at the time, I remember, because now the thing is about Standard 8, and I didn't bring any Standard 8 film up here to show you, but it's very, very thin stuff. We're talking about 8mm wide, and the frame is very, very small. And I was scratching off with a special tool, a pointed, sharp tool, to scratch off this animation on each frame, one frame at a time. And that was a lot of work. It was pretty elaborate. As you can tell, it was not always perfect. You know, there was a lot of errors, it wasn't perfect circles and stuff like that all the time. But I had to do this, and this is a 14-minute film, and about half the film has the bubble creatures in it. So that was about seven minutes of animation, frame-by-frame animation, and this was going about 18 frames a second. So we're talking somewhere between 5 to 6,500 frames of film that I had to go one frame at a time and animate these things. Now, what made it more complicated was the fact that if there were two or more actors in the scene at the same time, I had to do like two or three of these things in the scene and kind of keep them in perspective with each other and make sure they were all in the frame and that sort of thing. A very extremely difficult thing to do. However, I was able to pull it off because these are very, very small frames, and I was doing this with a light table. I had the film stretch it over a light table so I could see through and pick out the shots or the individual frames. The trick is that it was my eyesight that did it with my bare eyes. Because I am so nearsighted, I am very nearsighted. I'm so nearsighted that I was able to move up very close to the frame and see the details in the frame and do this frame by frame and do it all. If I was not as nearsighted, I'd probably need a microscope to do this with, or at best a really, really heavy some really heavy optics to really see this with, a really big thick magnifying glass stuck in place or something. So the fact that I did this looking at the bare frames with my bare eyes was something. So anyway, that was the first couple of clips from Attack of the Bubble Creatures. I've never shown this on the internet before. But I'll tell you what, if you like that, let me know. And Andrea's in the chat. Good to see you, Andrea. Good to see you. Thanks for joining. And stick around a little bit. We're about to end it here shortly, but I have a couple other things we're going to do. The giveaway contest I want to mention. But Andrea, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining me. She says, Chi and Rick, fun show. And she says, thank you and our best to your kids. Thank you, Andrea. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Anything going on Twitch? And not too much there. So very quiet tonight on Twitch. Anyway, so there's one more thing I want to talk about. And this is before we end the show. Of course, you know that we have been running a promotion. We've been running a promotion on... do I have it here? Yeah, I guess. We're running a promotion for the Start Ugly book. We're giving away a Start Ugly book. And this is, let me pull this up here for just a moment. If I can find it. Actually, there are two things. I almost forgot about the other one. I'm sorry, Tommy. I almost forgot about it. The Start Ugly. Where is my Start Ugly thing here? Oh, here it is. So we've been doing this promotion. I'm giving away a free copy of Start Ugly to anyone. And Start Ugly is a book by my good friend Chris Kremitzos, who is also co-founder of the of PodFest Multimedia Expo. Really, really nice guy. Great guy. And his family are just wonderful people. And they do podcasts. They're like a podcast family there. He and his wife both do podcasts. She has a podcast network, as a matter of fact. And he wrote a book called Start Ugly, A Timeless Tale About Innovation and Change. And what this is this short, this is not like a coffee table kind of book, but it's a short book about a story about an example about just finding your dreams, not waiting for everything to be perfect. You know, a lot of us, we have a big dream. We have something on our bucket list, something we've always wanted to do, but we just never got around to do it because it's like, you know what? It's not the right time. It's not the right place. Everything isn't just the way I need it. You know, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough, I don't have all, everything isn't where it needs to be so I can launch it. And it's perfect when I launch it. You've got to have it perfect when we launch it. No, you don't. Because if you do that, if you wait until it's perfect, it's never going to be perfect before you launch it. So what you need to do is you need to start ugly, go ahead and launch it now and perfect it as you go along the way. It's like this show. Like this wine stream, a perfect example. I started it. I was just winging it, you know. Now I'm still winging it on camera, but I do more planning and I've got a lot more things going on than I did in the very beginning. It's not as crude as it was before. So, I've refined it over time. I learned a lot of things over time about streaming, about live streaming, I should say, and I perfected this over time. Now I'm still doing that. But Start Ugly, what I'm doing is I'm giving away a copy of this book. And what I want you to do is just send me an email saying, what idea, project, or dream do you have but have put off starting or completing for one reason or another? What idea, project, or dream do you have, you, but have put off starting or completing for one reason or another? And it can be, and I don't want to not say, I just want you know, a little one-liner, it can be a few words. What's the idea? You can just send me the idea and say, hey, Rick, I'm interested in winning this book. And I will pull from the list of books, I will pull the winner from it, and I will send you a copy of Start Ugly by Chris Kremitzos for free. Okay. There's one more thing I want to cover. Oh, also let me give you the address. Drink with Rick. Rick@SavoyaMedia.com. That's what you want to do is you want to email me at Rick@SavoyaMedia.com. There's one more thing I want to mention before we go. I mentioned last week that I had an announcement there that my son and I were starting a network of our shows. And last week on Memorial Day, we officially launched the network. And this is our Savoya Media Network. If you just go to SavoyaMedia.com, that's SavoyaMedia.com, Savoya Media Network. There are currently 9 shows on the network. Technically, there's a fifth, but I don't really own that one. That's the one I do for my day job. But right now, this is the shows on the Savoya Media Network produced by Savoya Studios. And it includes our current shows. And includes our past shows. If you go there, you can see some of the shows, some of the legacy shows that both my son Tommy and my daughter Tia and I myself have produced over the last 14 years. Now, Tommy's his anniversary, his podcast anniversary as a podcaster, is coming up in a couple of weeks. He'll be podcasting for 10 years, but you can go there and you can listen to the very first shows that he and his sister Tia did. And it's amazing. I went back and listened to them, and the change in voices and things like that from little kids up to where he is now, you can tell the difference. It's pretty interesting, but brings back a lot of memories. But that is the Savoya Media Network. And my son did most of the work on this. He did most of the heavy lifting, putting this together. I did a little bit of it, but he did most of the heavy lifting. And I'm quite proud of him for it. He did a fabulous job. He did just a fine job doing it. So I want to give a congratulations to my son Tommy for working so hard on putting this together. He's still working on it. He's doing some tweaks, but I want to say congratulations, Tommy. And also toast. I want to toast the official launch of the Savoya Media Network. And by the way, Chris was partly our inspiration for that. Chris Kremitzos. That book, Start Ugly. I got a copy right there. That was partly our inspiration for doing that, by the way. All right, so I guess that's pretty much all I've got tonight. Any other things? Benny says, night to Rick, Chi, and all the kids. Be safe and God bless. Well, to you also, Benny, and to everyone else in the Shonk family. Good night, and thank you. Thank you for joining me tonight. Hope you had a great time. Hope you had as a good time as I did. I always have a good time doing this. I really do. Because you're here. You're here with me. You know, this is not a show about me. This is a show about the wine, kind of. But it's not a show about me. This is a show about us, you and me, interacting, doing some things, having a good time on Twitch. You are my target. V Colorblind's here. Wow. Hey, Rick. V Colorblind says, hey, Rick. Hey, V Colorblind, it's great to see you. I missed you earlier, and I hope you can go back and look at some of the clips that we were showing from a film I made back in the 70s. We just had some fun with that. Tom Antio says, he's in the chat too, says, congrats too, Dad. Thank you. And I also want to, I did mention that those that graphic that we had for the, when we were showing the film clips of the theater with the chairs and the movie screen and stuff. My daughter Tia did that. She did that by hand, and she did it rather quickly. I owe her some money for that. Thank you, Tia. I really, really appreciate it. It turned out really great. It turned out fabulous. I really, really appreciate it. So, you know, my daughter Tia does graphics for our show as well, and I think she did a phenomenal job on it. CM Center says, good stream tonight. Thank you. And tonight, let's see. I want to remind you that you can, if you missed it earlier, you can catch the podcast later. You can catch it at drinkwithrick.com. You listen to the podcast. We're available in all these locations. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, on your Android device, Stitcher, on your Android app, I should say. Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, Deezer, we're on Deezer too. And you can do it by email. You just put in your email and you'll get the latest episodes of Drink with Rick when they're out. Now, I also want to make a mention that did I miss anything here? I think I did not. Oh, yes, I want to remind you what we did tonight. Tonight we tried out this Villa Serena Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. You know what? I did not get to the. Did I get to the wine? No, I did not. I forgot the wine grapes. I forgot the grape. But we were going to go over the Montepulciano grape tonight. But it's getting late, so we're going to have to do that next week. But I do have the Montepulciano grape there. I apologize for that, folks. I completely missed that. I missed that on my notes. It's on my notes. I just wasn't paying attention to them. I was just excited about it. So we'll go over the Montepulciano grape next week. I think that'll give us something to do next week. So in the meantime, I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight on the stream. I want to thank, Matthew. Thank Matt for being there. And my lovely wife, Chi. And Benny, it's good to see you. And Andrea, thank you for being with me on the chat tonight. Oh, let me get back to, here we go. I'm sitting here on the wine bottle. Boy, I'm really betting 1,000 here with this switching tonight, aren't I? Anyway, so I want to thank everyone, Benny and Andrea. I want to thank everyone on Twitch. I want to thank CM Cinder, Tom Antio, and I want to thank You're My Target. You are my target. And V Colorblind. And everyone who is watching tonight passively on Twitter and YouTube, I appreciate you being here with me. This is not really a show without you. It really isn't. You are part of the show. You are part of the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and I'm really, really glad you're here. Please, next week, I'm not sure we're going to open yet, but we are going to go over the Montepulciano grape next week because I completely forgot about it. My bad. I was just excited about showing you the clips. I got carried away with that. Next week, we'll pick another wine that's about $5 or so and something we can afford. A lot of us can't afford anything. I mean, we're all in a budget right now. Till we can get out of this and get this economy going again. In the meantime, please keep the faith. Please keep the faith. We'll get through this. We'll get through this somehow. It's starting to come back to life a little bit, but we just have to hang on and be patient and just do the best we can, right? To get through it. Anyway, thank you for being here with me. Please remember, please do not drink and drive, as if we all have anywhere to go anyway. Please do not drink and drive. Please do not text and drive. Don't do that. I want you to have a great week, and I want you to have a safe week. So you can enjoy me again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, and we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.